Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning Podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning and welcome to a Monday edition of the program. We're glad you're along for the ride. It's Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. And yes, it is Masters Week. As you can see, we have the start of Amen Corner that I'm sitting at. I'm going to talk in my golf voice today. We're going to go to JC on the Titan MR hotline. Good morning, JC. How are you, JC?
You're doing a pretty good job there, QB.
You think I could work? I could follow the leaders and whisper.
Yeah. Yes,
JC is over behind the pine tree. I don't think he has a shot. Real quick before we get into what's going on, Gator baseball. I have a million tweets already on the not tweets but texts on the Titan MR text line about Gator baseball. Softball wins their series at Auburn. Congratulations to gymnastics. They are moving on as we anticipated. They're phenomenal. I think they're going to win it all this year. Men's golf is leading their tournament down in Naples right now. I don't know how many days are left in that. And if you missed it last night, the SEC wins another national championship as Dawn Staley and the Lady Gamecocks take down UConn very handily, actually. Really? So they're your national champs. So congratulations to them. What's going on, JC? Are you excited for the Masters?
Yeah, I'm excited for the Masters. And typically at this time of year, the Masters and the Final Four run very close to each other. And we had
do that every year. Because Jim Nantz goes from calling the national championship game.
Okay.
He gets on one of his private planes and he flies to Augusta. Happens every year.
Oh, every year. Well, that's good. Well,
you know that. Yeah.
So here we are. Well, no, I knew it, but I didn't know it was put together that way. But that would make sense. Yeah. Well, cool. I love this great time of year. The weather we just had up in Mississippi, where we were last week, is probably going to hopefully carry over into Augusta, and they will get to play. The airlines are having all these issues with weather, right? So you always hope that weather is not a factor as we go forward with the Augusta tournament. And Tiger Woods, QB, what would you say the odds are that he would actually try to play this tournament? I can't imagine that he would play in this tournament, but he hasn't said.
I could see Tiger trying to play, and then, look, he's lucky to be alive. We all know that.
Yeah.
But what people don't realize, the wear and tear on your body walking Augusta National.
4 days.
TV does it no justice. It is one of the most hilliest. I don't know if that's a word. But it is the elevation changes there, and walking up and down the slopes with his broken foot that just got reconstructed. I don't know if he can do it. I mean, he could pop a bunch of pain pills and get treatment and do all that. I think he's going to try. I do think he's going to try.
You think he's going to try? Wow. Last week I would have said no chance, but then again, we don't know. We're not Tiger Woods. We don't live in his body. And
he has zero chance of winning, though, I will tell you that.
Yeah, that's I would agree with that. But it's just shocking to me that after this happens so soon, he would even try, but he's going to give it a shot anyway. This is his favorite course. I mean, I think this is his favorite course. And certainly the tournament he's won the most is a major champion. So I guess it's not the same without him there. So he's going to be there. And we'll see how it pulls out. I'm very surprised. If he plays, I'd be just shocked. But that's – yeah, that's Tiger Woods, right? So, I don't know, QB. I mean, I think there's so many great guys, players that could win this. So many guys have had such great starts at the beginning of the season. It's almost virtually impossible. I think the field is just so expanded with so many different players that have real opportunities to win this. But I typically go with the guys who traditionally play well at this course and have traditionally won at this course in the past because of the experience they have at the course and with the pressure of the Masters and playing through a lead or a chase on Sunday. I think really matters as to who will win this. But then we have new winners like Danny Willett and people like that who come out of virtually nowhere to win this tournament. So it's going to be really hard to predict, but I have an idea. I think we'll talk about it later in the week as to who.
Yeah, Dan's got a question on it. It's a pretty interesting question here. And like you said, we'll talk more golf, especially on Wednesday when we do our Peachland Dentistry Masters picks. Peachland Dentistry, Gator Nation's number one choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte, surrounding areas. Go check them out at peachlanddental.com and go check out, get your teeth cleaned by Joe.
Joe is the teeth master. It's good to see him this weekend. We love
Joe. Dan says, Facebook Live brought to you by Mellon Law. Will Tiger play on the senior tour one day or just call it quits?
I bet you he calls it quits.
I bet he'll just play in the majors on the senior tour.
Well, maybe. Or he'll try to be a senior and play on the majors in the regular tour. I mean,
yeah. That's a great question because, we'll see. Because here's the thing. It's just like any athlete, regardless of what sport you play, it's hard when you retire or you're injured and can't play any longer, whatever the reason is that you have to walk away from your sport.
Yeah.
You're so competitive that you can't get it out of your blood. You got to find – I mean, like us football players, we can be competitive on the golf course. You know what I'm saying? You can make no matter who you play with, you can find some way to make that match competitive because golf, you can make it kind of even. Well, what does a golfer do? Do they go play pickup basketball at the YMCA? I mean, they have to have something for that competitiveness in their blood.
Longevity works better for golfers than obviously it does for contact sport athletes. And certainly I think that when you're Tiger Woods and you've done it all, basically, just competing in anything isn't enough, QB. He's going to compete, but he's going to compete in the events that he feels he values the most, right? He's not going to go to Hartford and play in a tournament. He's not going to go to Greensboro and compete in a tournament. He's only going to compete at the one you're at right now or those other ones. And with golf being one of those sports that you can play as you get older, I mean, let's face it. Jack Nicklaus won it at 46 years old against the younger guys that were 20 years younger than him. So, longevity does help you.
Donnie says he wouldn't be shocked if he really won. I don't think there's any way Tiger can beat these young guys. Joseph says, and we're going to get to this, he says the biggest story is our Gators getting swept on the diamond by the Dogs. And then John asked on Facebook Live, did we see Tim Walton getting into it with the Auburn fans? I wonder what that was about. I didn't see any of that. If people want to chime in and let us know, they can let us know. Okay, JC, I got this. I took this screenshot off of Twitter this morning. Listen to this, my friend. The SEC schools with a more recent national championship than Alabama.
Okay.
South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky. Georgia. Mm-hmm. Mississippi State. LSU, Ole Miss, and Arkansas. Is the tide washed up?
Well,
anyway, South Carolina wins in football, Florida track, Kentucky volleyball, Georgia football, Mississippi State. What did they win? Baseball, LSU. I don't know what the hell they won. Ole Miss won in like women's golf. And Arkansas probably has some track because they win in track every year. But I thought that was a funny tweet.
Well, it's a funny tweet. So does that mean Greg Burns got to go at all?
He's got to go. He's got to go. He ain't getting it done.
Okay. I can promise you this. The Alabama fans that I saw this weekend and most of them that I know, they're okay with this. It's good to win a championship in any sport. And they have. They won in golf. They won in gymnastics. But we all know what butters the bread and keeps this thing going. So,
Facebook Live brought to you by Mellon Law, the only official law firm part of the Florida Gators. Andy says, Torian Green on the basketball staff, Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan helped make that happen. Yeah, we'll talk to Chris Harry. We're going to have Chris Harry from FloridaGators.com, second part of today's program, talk about the new coaching hires, what's going to happen with this roster. We'll talk about Torian Green's job position here at Florida, and we'll get his thoughts on the game tonight as well. Okay, so JC, let me get to some of these tweets. They're not tweets. Why do I keep saying they're tweets? They're texts on the Titan MR text line. Should we have a Titan MR tweet line or text line? Okay. This is from David. He says, Gator baseball is free-falling like Tom Petty sings. Can they have a season like the last one? Sure looks like it. Pitching is a disaster. I served in the military, and I don't like South Carolina not coming out for the national anthem. I'm not familiar with that. Are you?
Don Staley was not on the court during the national anthem.
Really? Was the team or just
her? I just read that it was just her, but if she wasn't on there, I'm not. I mean, maybe the team was. I'm sure they had to go warm up. I've seen Buzz.
No, Peterson. Well, I mean, it doesn't mean that they have to be out there for the national anthem.
Maybe not. Yeah, I mean, it could.
I don't like that either, David. I am so glad that all this nonsense with the national anthem happened after I was done playing ball.
Yeah,
because I can't imagine not being out for the national anthem. It just it's the most ridiculous thing. It's actually nonsense. Here's another Facebook Live. It's early, folks. Another text on the Tiger More text line. Daryl just says, "Good morning, guys. Go Tar Heels." And you're talking about a phenomenal story with Hubert Davis and his coaching staff and what those players have done. Okay, we're going to get to that in just a second, JC. But let me – we got people chiming in. Dan says it was the entire South Carolina girls team was not on the court. I don't like that. So,
Well, they want to go play basketball in Ukraine? You want to go play basketball in Europe somewhere? You want to? How about Latin America? You want to go play there? It's just, I'm so sick of people not appreciating the opportunities that they have and using their platforms to make a ridiculous statement that a fraction of the people probably value. But that's beside the point. They won their basketball game. Congratulations, South Carolina. It's about the only thing South Carolina can win, right? So they won something. Good for them. Big deal. I mean, that's great. They beat UConn. That's a big deal. But, yeah, that's kind of crap with the virtue signaling and the political statements because you're an athlete or on, I'm just kind of over it as a fan, you know,
I think most people are. It's disrespectful. There's no question. Joseph says a Facebook Live brought to you by Melton Law, the only official law firm part of the Florida Gators. Did you see Vanderbilt is wanting the baseballs looked into that Tennessee was using in the game? Tennessee always looking for angles to cheat. You know, I want to say I saw where they wanted to check Tennessee's bats. I tweeted last year during the regionals. I was flipping through the channels. I had a friend of mine from college. Her son played baseball for Tennessee. Tennessee was hitting bombs. I can't remember who they were playing.
I don't remember if it was super regionals
or what. And I basically tweeted, the bats need to be checked in Knoxville. Because it's crazy. And so I don't know if that's kind of carried over to this year, but Tennessee's your number one team in America and they're rolling right along.
Yeah. That coach has done a great job. They got to the College World Series, didn't last long, but that's okay. They got there and looking to go back. And certainly with that team, they're probably favored to do that. I'm not really sure I understand why Kevin O'Sullivan's having so many issues with his pitching. I mean, he is a pitching guy, right? And that's where Florida has made most of their hay, off the pitching staff that they accumulate on their roster, and that's why they've won in the past. So it does surprise me, I have to say. I'm not sure why he's having issues now here for the second year in a row with pitching.
Highly touted kids struggling right now. Ruse Ogre State Farm Office is a team of dedicated insurance professionals ready to help life go right. The right insurance options for you and your family. They offer auto, home, life, and health insurance. Go check them out at ogreinsurance.com or give them a call, 352-240-1779. Speaking with JC on the Titan MRI hotline. We'll have Chris Harry talking Gator basketball and some other Gator news and notes, second portion of the show. Speaking of the national title game tonight, it starts probably about 9:27 is my guess. John says, Hubert Davis beat Coach K in his final game at Cameron. Then Davis beat Coach K in the final career game in the Final Four. If Hubert wins tonight, he should retire. It's only downhill from here.
Well, Hubert, they won.
But people forget when the 3 games ago when they played Duke in the Dean Smith Center, they got blown out by like 30 by Duke. Yes. And boy, they have flipped a switch. Yes. And I love Hubert Davis. I loved him when he was on TV. He's a diehard Tar Heel, but their run has just been phenomenal.
Well, 8 out of 10 to end the season. He could be the first coach to win the national championship in his first year since Steve Fisher did it at Michigan back in the 80s.
And I wonder if he's the first player to ever have a chance to win it at the school he played for.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but he that might be. But, you know, he was in the Final Four as a player back in 91, and they lost to Kansas in that game. There's a lot of connections here between these two blue blood programs, Kansas and North Carolina, obviously that connection. Then you have Roy Williams, who, of course, coached Kansas to leave to go to North Carolina, and Bill Self has now taken over from them since then. And Kansas, they've won three national titles. Bill Self won one of those, but they – are hoping to win their fourth, and they haven't won since 1990 something. So it's been a while for Kansas. Now North Carolina has won 7 national. What's that?
I thought you froze up on me there.
North Carolina's won something like 7 national championships, and the last one they won, I remember, was in 90. It was in 2017. So. You know, you've got 10 combined national championships in this game playing. And certainly I think Kansas and North Carolina are going to give us a really great game tonight. But there is, in my mind, one reason why North Carolina's really flipped it on, and that's Caleb Love and the way he's taken over games, especially at the end. He is to me, the player on their team that makes it all happen for them. And they're all playing great, but he's been the one, I think, that's made the most impact.
Got a couple of Facebook Lives here brought to you by Metal Law. This is interesting. I love how our listeners, they have all good – they got great tidbits, JC. Andy says, Georgia won the football national title in Coach K's first year and last year.
There you go.
So Georgia's done now.
Yeah.
And Lauren asks, is Coach K the greatest ever? I mean, the only other person I think would be in that would be your guy from UCLA,
John Wood.
Yes,
and you know, and then that
he won way more titles.
And then you had the Rupp dude up at in Kentucky, right? He was one of the granddaddies. He was one of the granddaddies of all the great coaches. But John Wooden, I think, had over 10 or 11 or something. So yeah, it was a different world back then too, though, man. Totally different world, as we know. And here's Auburn losing Walker Kessler to the transfer portal, right? I mean, what kind of year did he have? He had a good year.
No, he's going to the NBA.
NBA, I'm sorry. He's just checking out. He's transferring to the NBA, QB.
Well, why wouldn't he?
He's a
7-footer who can shoot and rebound.
I guess. I don't know. He didn't really do much for me at the end of the year there. But, Auburn didn't really as a team either. But, you know, 91, let's see, that was when – yeah. When did Coach K win his first? That was in 82, really? Was it that long ago? No.
He's only won how many national titles? 3 or 5?
Yeah, 5 maybe.
I think it's 5. Well,
okay. Yeah. You know,
we just turned into the Duke Radio Network. Goza says, does Duke find a good replacement or is the Duke run? Well, they've already hired John Shire, former player. Shire. Which kind of rubbed people the wrong way. I know Tommy Amaker wanted that job, a couple other Dukas coaches elsewhere. But, you know, we'll see. You know, the old saying, you don't follow a legend. It ain't worked out for anybody, quite honestly, that I can think of right off the top of my head.
It's hard.
Can you?
Really hard. Really, really hard. Well, now, I mean, I think Matt Jones had about as good a rookie year as you could expect at New England. But I don't know what else you could want.
What does Mac Jones have to do with following – oh, you're talking about following Tom Brady. I got you.
You said following the legend.
Well, he didn't follow Tom Brady, remember? He followed Cam Newton and Bobby Hoyer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Actually, you're right about that. Yeah, that's true.
But I was talking about more from a coaching standpoint.
Yeah, I know. I know you were. Well, you know, Roy Williams, who did he – who replaced Dean Smith? I can't even remember.
Roy did. I mean, that was kind of – I mean, Roy, he was already successful. He already had North Carolina ties. We're going to throw that one out. That didn't count. Dan says, how about LSU having 0 scholarship players and 0 recruits coming in basketball? I read that. they don't have any scholarship players at all, and nobody's coming right now. Now they'll get some players because of their new coach.
I want to make a correction to one of your former Titan MRI text messages about Coach K. His first national championship was not in the 80s. It was in 91. And so that Georgia championship that was mentioned happened in 81 or 2 with Herschel. Or
1980, 80s.
Yeah.
So okay, I'm just reading what people tell me here. So
let's correct that. Coach K won it.
Are you 100% sure of that?
His first championship was in 91. It was not in the 80s. Okay. I'm pretty sure. He may have coached in the 80s, but his first national championship came beating Kansas in 1991, and that was the Kansas team that beat Hubert Davis in the semifinal when Hubert played for North Carolina.
All right, well, you have corrected that. We appreciate it, JC.
And I mean, I'm not trying to, but I just wanted to make sure we got that right. And I think, you know, certainly, Roy Williams, I think you're right. I agree with you on that. I mean, he did win at Kansas before he went to North Carolina. So
we got a text on the Titan MR text line. From Jimmy. Jimmy says, "Hey guys, I love me some Gator baseball. If the Gators continue playing this way and the season ends like last year, will Sully be on the hot seat?"
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think, you know, having a couple bad years gets you on the hot seat if you've won a national title. So I think that if he struggles finding players, that's what I would be more concerned with. Now, who knew that this pitching crop he's got would be at this? I mean, I'm sure Jeff Cardozo is stunned at the fact that they can't pitch. But I think we all are, really. Florida usually has great pitching.
Oh, okay. We got people chiming in. He wasn't referring to Duke winning anything. He said his first year at Duke was 1980.
Okay.
His last year at Duke, he leaves. Those are the years that Georgia won.
Okay,
it had nothing to do with Duke winning anything. His first and last year.
So, I could have misheard what you said.
Yeah, I could have easily said it wrong. So
okay. I got you.
Joseph says, referring to Sully, you have to look at the overall job performance, the way he recruits, he'll be okay. Yeah, he's not going anywhere. They'll get this figured out. Like I said, we ain't got people like me and JC out on the mound throwing. These are highly, highly touted kids that just ain't figuring it out right now. And you're playing in the most difficult conference in all of baseball.
Yes.
I mean, it's a bloodbath right now. You know, I was flipping through the channels. I didn't even realize Mississippi State's not even ranked right now. They were your number one team not too long ago.
Well, they won the title last year, but they lost some players, obviously. But, you know, Landon Sims is one of their stud players. He's got Tommy John surgery. I mean, so when you lose somebody like that who's a leader, who's done so much and who's effective on the mound, and you don't have them available, that's going to hurt your team. It's inevitable that would hurt your team. And he's got Tommy John surgery. So, I mean, it's a bad year for the champs. Okay, you know.
Dan says, so Kirby will bring in Coach K as a consultant. That way they'll have another chance of winning a national title. JC, before we let you go here,
sure.
I want to get to This Day in Sports with you because it's brought to you by our good friends at Comfort Temp. Comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. Comfort Temp's hiring team members of all levels of experience. Give them a call, 352-376-2366. Do you remember this? I do. I was a youngster. The 45th NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. NC State beats the Phi Slamma Jamma from Houston 54-52 with the buzzer beater dunk. It was like an air ball that he catches, Lorenzo Charles, off the desperation shot from Derek Wittenberg. You remember that?
Derek Wittenberg, yes. And I do remember it. They were in their red jerseys. Valvano comes right.
Valvano was running all around the court.
Running all around the court. God bless him. Jimmy V, you know, we don't forget about that. But that takes a back seat to what his legacy is with the V Foundation and what he was – that speech he gave at the ESPYs that time. And certainly cancer's affected all of us or one of our friends in many ways. We just got back from Mississippi where, you know, our wonderful friend Kyle Morris is fighting it. And we wish him so much of the best and love that we could give him, and certainly – thanks for the tournament that he throws that we are able to enjoy up in a wonderful place in central Mississippi. So It's a big deal. I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, the Jimmy V Foundation is very important. And certainly Dick Vitale is learning that and has learned that over the last three decades. And cancer is prevalent. We have to always keep our mind of that and our friends who have it and so forth.
No doubt. Jimmy V says, don't ever give up.
That's right.
And, that is so true. That's right. And that has to be one of the greatest upsets in the history of sports, too.
Well, it was shocking. It was shocking that they even made it, you know, the tournament for that matter. I think they were not really that good that year. And they just caught some sort of amazing run and couldn't be beat. Terry Gannon was on that team, and he's an announcer for, you know, women's golf and tennis and things on ESPN. And I just think that was, you're right, that's one of the great teams and stories of our basketball world, NC State Wolfpack winning it.
Says on Facebook Live, brought to you, what is this thing on my computer? I'll say, remind me tomorrow. There we go. So Will says, Bill Guthridge replaced Dean Smith and did a pretty good job, two Final Four appearances. Okay. Then I think Roy Williams came in. So we appreciate you correcting us because we're morons on here.
Girl, we're tired. Yeah, we've been traveling, QB.
Well, I wouldn't have known that anyway. Who the hell would you remember Bill Guthridge?
No, I'm not a Carolina guy, but thank you for that. I do know that Roy coached there leaving Kansas, though. So I put that together. But, okay, thank you for the Bill Guthridge note today. I'll remember that throughout the day.
Yeah, so we're gonna talk a lot of Masters this week. We're gonna talk with Chris Harry here in a minute about the new the assistants that Coach Ty Golden is bringing in. We'll get his thoughts on the championship game tonight. So JC, before we let you go, we're gonna do our Peachland Dentistry National Championship predictions. Gator Nation's number one choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte surrounding areas. So we got the Kansas Jayhawks and North Carolina. I did on Friday's show. I did pick these two teams to win Saturday night. So who do you have winning and cutting down the nets?
I really love the way Kansas is playing. I think, depth-wise, they're really good and they're big. But I just can't get over this run that Carolina's on right now. So I'm going to stay with the Carolina Tar Heels. If I had to take 4.5 points, I absolutely would do that. But just to win the game, I didn't believe in them. I didn't think they could beat Duke. After they beat Duke, I'm now a believer. So
okay. Back to North Carolina coaching changes. Matt Daugherty came after Guthridge, and then Roy Williams came. Remember him? He was a former player.
Matt. Oh, Matt Daugherty? Okay, yeah. Well, listen, that's great. And, Carolina's they are what they are. It's a great program, but –
And we'll announce tomorrow who wins our bracket challenge. We'll find that. You'll get a nice Spurrier Gridiron Grill gift bag. I'm going to take the North Carolina Tar Heels to win it all.
Yeah,
I really like Kansas. I think Bill Self's done a phenomenal job coaching this team this year.
Yeah,
but what Hubert Davis has done, and I love Hubert Davis. I don't know why. I've never met the guy in my life. I just like what he's all about. I like how he coaches his kids. And what a story. I don't know when the last time an 8-seed won the national title. But to do what he has done, you know, because there were some rumblings during the season this year from the fan base because this is year one. And this is kind of similar to what's going to happen at Duke. They appointed an assistant coach to take over. So we'll see how John Shire handles it next year. Obviously, Hubert Davis had a better career than John Shire. But I'm just going to pull for the Tar Heels, and hopefully they win it all.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a very entertaining game to watch if you can stay awake. Again, TV executives do this to us. I don't know why they do it to us, but they do. And, if we can stay awake and watch it, you know. 4 points spread, though. I'm inclined to take the points with North Carolina.
All right, I'm going to correct some people. They're talking about Brad and Matt Daugherty. Matt Daugherty did coach at Notre Dame, and he's a former North Carolina player, went and took over the program. It's not Brad Daugherty. Two different human beings. Brad Daugherty was a guy who played in the NBA for a long time. Then he got into owning NASCAR teams. Totally different guy. Never coached.
But he played at North Carolina.
That's what I just said. He played in the league for a long time, in the NBA for a long time. And then he works – he's into race car. He owns a bunch of teams.
But Brad played at North Carolina.
That's what I said. Both of them played there, Brad and Matt. There's no relation. One's a white dude and one's a black dude.
I didn't know Matt. I don't remember Matt.
Yeah, white guy kind of had curly hair.
Okay. Well, he played for Auburn too, didn't he? Or somebody? I don't know.
No, he played at North Carolina and he coached at Notre Dame.
Okay.
But since we are diving deep into the Tar Heel basketball tradition here.
I don't know. Why aren't you at Carmichael Hall right now in Chapel Hill, you know, where Michael Jordan played, for God's sakes?
That's right. All right, JC. We appreciate you taking it. So you have who winning tonight?
By the way, Carmichael Auditorium had a smaller capacity of seats than Cameron Indoor Stadium. How about that? That you didn't know that.
And then 7, they built 000. The Dean.
Then they built the Dean Dome. I took Carolina.
I got Carolina too. All right, JC, good stuff. We're gonna talk a little Gators sports with Chris Harry. Have a good day, man.
All right, we'll see you on Wednesday.
That's JC joining us on the Tiger Tomorrow Hotline. We're gonna take our final time. Oh, not our final time. Our first time out. We're some tired folks. You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Our Gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co. Some of our touchdown sponsors are MB Listing, McDonald's of Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Avera and Smith, Dowling Signs, Baker's Sporting Goods, Ruse Ogra Agent, State Farm Insurance, Silver Cube Billiards and Sports Bar. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Celebration Points, where the Gators go to celebrate, with premium brands like Nike, Regal Cinemas, Le Macaron, Bass Pro Shops, International Diamond Center, Prime and Pearl, and the HBC's Restaurant. Spurrier's Gridiron Grill, where you can get 50% off a bottle of wine every Wednesday. We'll see you at Celebration Point, where the Gators go to celebrate. This guy, he loves his wine. He's a wine expert. Chris Harry from FloridaGators.com. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Morning, Shane. I don't know if I'm a wine expert, but I am a Spurrier grill expert. Yeah.
Hey, so like JC and I butchered the first portion of the program today because somehow we got off a tangent talking North Carolina, you know, who came after Dean Smith. And, you know, we said Roy Williams. Well, then it became – we had all our listeners tell us it was Matt Daugherty, then Bill Guthridge, or I've already forgot his name. So my question to you, and we had somebody chime in here, because is Hubert Davis, does he have a chance to be the first former player at his university win a national championship in year one? Do you know the answer to that?
I mean,
because I have an answer here. I think, I don't know if it's correct. Our listeners filled me in on it, but I was
giving you a little trivia question. I can't answer that question. I mean, I don't think Kevin Ollie wasn't in his first season.
It wasn't his first year?
I don't believe it was, no.
Okay. That's what somebody thought it might have been.
I'm not 100% sure of that, but I don't think so, but I can't say.
Well, somebody thought so, but that's
good. I'm pretty sure Daugherty was after Guthridge, right?
Yeah, we've been talking about that, but we were talking about how hard it is to follow a legend. Right. You know, and Roy
Williams. Which we all know about here.
Yes, we all know about that. And now, you know,
in Duke multiple sports, yes.
Duke is going to have to deal with it next year. So we'll see. All right, Chris. So Ty Golden, we're going to talk a little basketball here, and then I'm going to get your thoughts on some of the scrimmages and practice you've seen in football. He's hired a couple of coaches. kind of give us a brief synopsis. I know people can go on the website and read about the stories you've written, but just tell us what these guys bring to the table.
Well, it's a staff that he has some familiarity with, by and large. The first one that he hired was I've only met two of them. Okay, he brought with him, he hired Kevin Hobdy away from Richmond. Now, if you recall, Richmond had a big upset. I believe it was Iowa in the first round of the tournament this year. He said they were together in San Francisco. He was associate head coach out there, and he's got he's based in the Princeton offense. So there's going to be a lot of spreads and there's going to be a lot of cutting. So he's the guy who's probably going to work a lot offensively. Corey McRae was the second guy he announced. He comes by way from, he's been with Ben Hallen since Ben Hallen came into the SEC in 2015. Before that, he was at LSU for a couple years, two or three years, I think. And before that, he was at UCLA with Ben Hallen. So former player. He was a grad assistant a long time ago with Leonard Hamilton at Florida State. So this is a guy who's familiar, he's got some familiarity with the South and recruited some pretty good players at both LSU and Mississippi State. So where Todd Golden's may not have a lot of knowledge of the South, saved a couple seasons he was with Bruce Pearl at Auburn, this guy has a lot of knowledge. He's also, it's an interesting stat, he and his father founded the Atlanta Celtics, which I might add is one of the, I'd say, top three or four AAU organizations in the country. So there's a little bit of a pipeline, hopefully, that will develop there. And finally, Carlin Hartman, by way of UNLV, where he was with Kevin Kruger, Lon Kruger's son, for one or two seasons. Before that, he was with Lon Kruger at Oklahoma. So that guy knows how to coach some basketball, obviously. Having been around Lon, and he was a former player at Tulane, I think a top 10 scorer at Tulane back in the day. So that's his three full-time staff, and they created a new position called Director of Basketball Strategy and Analytics. Jonathan Sapphire, I wrote a story about this guy. He was a math whiz who is kind of like the guy who handles all the analytics in real time on the bench during games preparation and all that stuff. And there's some interesting anecdotes. If people want to go to FloridaGators.com and read a story, it's titled "Strength in Numbers," and the guy, it's Jonathan, is spelled, or Jonathan Sapphire, spelled S-A-F-I-R, but it's pronounced Sapphire. So those are the four guys right now, and there may be at least one other person on the way, as you may have been paying attention to on social media.
Well, we want to get to that, but we got a text on the Titanomar text line. It comes from Bob. It's pretty long. I'm just going to paraphrase it. He's basically asking, in basketball, how many actual coaches are you allowed to have in D1? And will basketball ever get to how football is with all the off-the-field analysts?
I mean, to answer the second question first, I think it can. I think you can create those. But the rules apply as far as full-time assistants. There's three. Okay, three that are deemed assistant, they can get on the road and what have you. Now, back at home, they passed some rules, I think either last year or the year before that. They haven't renewed them yet. When a coach is on the road recruiting, a coach that is in the office that is not a quote-unquote full-time can work players out on the court. So there's some – they've given some leeway on that front the last few years. But those three gentlemen – that I mentioned first, they're the full-time assistant coaches that will do the recruiting and have all those the main responsibilities relative to scouts and stuff like that.
It's so weird how that non-assistant coach can actually take a kid out and work him out, whereas in football, if you're an analyst, all you can do is walk around with basically a clipboard. Well, all you're supposed to do is walk around with a clipboard and no coaching allowed.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, I don't know the rules of football as well as I do for basketball, but like I said, I do know if a coach is, say, in Seattle recruiting a player, you can take that guy down and work him out and be on the court. All the other times, if you're like whether you're a director of basketball operations or in this case basketball strategy and analytics, the stuff you have to do is supposed to be on the side, from the side.
Interesting. Okay, let's talk about Torian Green. Where is he right now, by the way, in the NBA?
All right, so This is not something this isn't shown up on social media. It's not something that the University of Florida has announced, but it kind of lends credence to rumors when the head coach is tweeting about it. So,
but didn't Torian Green respond on Twitter?
Yeah,
on his
he responded to it also. So he's the director he's a player personnel director or director of player development. Player development. That's like the for us. Now, of course, I'm drawing a blank. Football.
Vernell Brown.
Football. That's right, Vernell Brown. He would be a Vernell Brown for basketball. Right now, he's doing that role for the Chicago Bulls. Billy Donovan hired when he retired from his international career. He was in it for like 14 years playing overseas. Good for him. And so he was able to have his professional career and come right away and go work for Billy. And apparently, from what Billy says, the players really like him in that role there. And I can only imagine he's going to be pretty good in that role here at a place where he's a living legend. You can say his pictures in the building hanging on the wall. There's pictures of the O4s in the building. So he'll just say, hey, that's me over there. You better listen to me when I'm talking to you.
Yeah, I think that player development role for regardless of whatever sport it is should always be a former player who can relate to players and people. At Chris Doering Mortgage, they do mortgage lending right, helping home buyers throughout Gainesville and North Central Florida. Call Chris Doering Mortgage today at 352-244-0840. Speaking with Chris Harry here on the Titan MR Hotline, you can follow Chris on Twitter at Gators Chris and also read all his good stuff at FloridaGators.com. All right. DeRuji, I think, has entered the NBA draft. Kind of give us an update on who you think will be from the last year's roster, who might be back, and who may be going elsewhere.
I think Tyree Appleby has said he'll go elsewhere and play, and that'll be his sixth year and his third team of eligibility. In terms of right now, the players that you're talking about, the key holdovers, of course, would be Kawase Reeves, Niles Lane. Now you got Jason Jatobo's situation is complicated because of his eye surgery. And you got Eli Kennedy and you have Tune Gatkak. So there's your six. And you also have Colin Castleton who has a year that's open. You have Myron Jones who has a year that's open. Those guys are dealing with those decisions as we speak. Probably hadn't been a whole lot of FaceTime, actual in-person FaceTime with the coach since he was hired going on 2 weeks ago. He's been running around a lot. I know he's at the Final Four this weekend. They did they were in all over the country last year dealing with some recruiting situations. So they've been pretty busy. I know he's trying to meet people too on campus. He's trying to meet boosters. So this is the transition period, but those decisions will kind of play themselves out over the next few days, few weeks.
Joseph says on Facebook Live, brought to you by Melo. Hopefully they all leave. We need guys that can make shots. Now, Kawase can shoot it now.
So
obviously we're going to be really active in the portal. I mean, you're a moron if you don't think so.
You have to be.
Yeah. So when can – I mean, kids are already in the portal. I think you saw a tweet. Omar Payne is back into the portal. So kids can go into the portal now.
Three teams in 3 years for him, yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a million of him guys like that
That's
around
right.
the country.
That's right.
So we could sign today a kid out of the portal, or is there a certain time period when you can do that for basketball?
I think you'll see on social. Just follow on social media. You see guys to transfer portal fodder tweeting. These are my kids. I saw a guy yesterday from Bradley, Florida. It's one of their one of his finalists, and of course he's got like six or seven or eight finalists or so, but. You could go right away, Google a guy's name, and read some impressive stats from him. So, I mean, you have seen some transfer guys land elsewhere already. I think LSU has already got a couple. LSU's lost 11 guys, by the way.
I saw that.
I don't know, like, can you imagine being Matt McMahon, who's obviously had a pretty good run at Murray State, gets there, and like all the guys are, all right, coach, we'll see you later. So, but I guess – that's college basketball in 2022, as everyone says. Mike White doesn't have a whole lot of guys to deal with in Georgia. Maybe that's okay when you're coming off a 1-17 season in league play. Mm-hmm. So he's starting from scratch also. So it's just the way of the world is what it is right now. But I know Todd Gold's excited about it. I ran into him a week ago yesterday. It's the first time I got to I talked to him a little bit one-on-one, but the first time I got to see him in a relaxed basketball coach, things going on where he was said, we're going to get in front of some guys and we're going to make a pitch, and their pitch is going to be a little bit different because it's going to involve numbers. They're going to punch algorithms. They're going to punch these guys' numbers and highlights and take it and put it into algorithms and show them how it fits into the system that he runs. So, it's just a different way of doing it. There's all kinds of ways of doing it. There's all kinds of ways of being successful. I just think this is pretty kind of cool and pretty kind of exciting to see, you know, just the newness of it all. He hasn't won a game yet. He hasn't lost a game yet. But they're excited to be here. I mean, they were at San Francisco, so they're 3,000 miles away, and all of a sudden they're here and driving on campus and seeing big baseball stadiums and big football stadiums and all these guys talking. I can't wait to see a Florida football game. You know, and I think Florida has LSU at home this weekend, Utah at home. Those would be big games. I imagine they'll also be big basketball recruiting weekends for those guys also.
Yeah, Dan says here on Facebook Live, he's heard that Castle is supposed to be back. I don't see Colin Castle playing in the NBA. I could see him overseas for a long time. So why not play another year? So, I mean, right now, crystal ball, do you think he comes back?
I would say it's a 50-50 shot.
Any chance he goes to Georgia?
I don't think that's going to happen. No. I think he loves it here. He's from DeLand or whatever.
That's right.
He's got a shoulder issue. If he wants to take care of that and play another year of college, that would be a sound decision. It's also a shoulder injury that players, the trainer has told me, players can play through and take care of down the line. He played with it all year, but I mean, you know, that'd be he could take care of that and come back and play. I'm sure Todd Golden would welcome him back. I don't know how Colin Castleton fits into an offense that spreads the floor and values shooting, because the guy he's never made a 3-point shot in his career. But at the same time, he's awful. He's awfully good in the low post, and they're gonna value guys down on the block who can get touches and spread the ball out. And Colin got really good at kicking the ball out from those double and triple teams.
All right, before we ask you one question about football, who you got tonight? I know you got some ties in your family. Your daughter went to North Carolina, one of her multiple schools, to get her PhD. Do you like the Tar Heels or the Jayhawks tonight?
No, I kind of like Kansas. I'll be pulling for North Carolina, obviously, because of those. She did get her master's there in the sports administration program, and I spent some time in Chapel Hill with those people. But Kansas has been, you know, among the best teams in the country all season long. North Carolina had its ups and downs, but man, they are sure playing well right now. They found Hubert Davis, obviously found the sweet spot. Brady Manick is a game changer when he's making threes. You know, I thought about this as they were jumping up and down after the game. Go back to October, Florida and North Carolina played a close scrimmage in the O-Dome this year, and there was two 20-minute games. Florida won the first half by 7. North Carolina won the second half by 7. I think it was a 73-73 final score. I thought that was kind of funny going back. That was Hubert Davis's first live action against another team. Came against Colin Castleton and Flandres Fleming and Brandon McKissick and what have you. But it's almost like the whole Kansas thing, they're so good and they got so many good pros. And it could be vacated. Bill Self and Kansas are facing 5 level 1 violations. Now, it's not the LSU Grand Slam with 11 level 1 violations. They are facing 5 of them, and they have been since 2019, if I'm not mistaken. So, really good team for obvious reasons, and he's a great coach and fantastic program, incredible, maybe the best fan base in the country but that's a historic game, blue blood, national championship game. And, again, I'll be rooting for Carolina, but if you ask me to pick them, I'll pick Kansas.
Yeah. All right, last thing real quick. You've seen a couple of practices, scrimmages or whatever. I know you like what you've seen from Billy Napier. He's not going to be playing with a full deck. Obviously, you heard his press conference the other day. We got to find players. We're going to be active in the portal. Just what have you seen from Napier that you like?
Well, you and I talked about this. It's demeanor. It's the measured way in which he addresses the team. The last couple practices. Now, as interesting as it is to watch what they do over the course of practice, now I run and listen to what he has to say to them after practice. And to me, that's his message is always on point. He always has like a theme, and it's about a 6-7 minute discussion he has with them after. And it's not just, you know, go get hydrated and all that stuff, and that's part of it and everything. But he has like a life's lesson that all ties into football and team and togetherness and what have you, culture. And I like what I see. And now, in terms of personnel, I think Florida has a okay team. I think they'd be okay if you only had to play 22 guys. But they need depth. And transfer portal is obviously going to be key to that. Recruiting is obviously going to be paramount to that. But in terms of the first unit and what have you, I think they'll get out there and be okay. But it's a process. But right now, I really like the person that's in charge of that process, his organization, his temperament, just everything about him so far. And I think you and I agree on just about everything that we see from this guy.
Yep, no question about it.
I'm actually looking forward. In a couple weeks, he opens his his booster tour. I want to see how he does on that. Maybe the message he has on that. I think I may go down to the one in Tampa because you know how much I like Tampa.
Yeah, because I think he's going to be. I think once people hear him speak, I know they've seen bits and pieces of his pressers, but I've heard him speak to high school coaches, you know, for an hour. He's sharp, man. And he's got a plan, and he is the best that I've seen. Now, I don't listen to Saban's all his pressers and everything, and I don't listen to all of Billy's, but the dude knows how to answer a question, and it's very impressive. So
he doesn't get real specific with his questions, but he sure sounds good when he's saying it. And he won't talk about individual guys.
Right.
He won't like talking. Maybe he will if you're having a conversation with him. But in terms of press conference, you ask him about a player, you get a real smooth, good answer that really didn't pinpoint a whole lot of stuff. But I guarantee that player in the office is hearing exactly how he's supposed to be going about his business. I'm excited to see what happens here.
Yeah, me too. Well, Chris, appreciate you taking the time. Enjoy the game tonight. I'm pulling for the Tar Heels like yourself. So we'll see what happens. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. See you, Shane. Take care.
That's Chris Harry from FloridaGators.com. Join us on the Titan Omar hotline. At South State Bank, we understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. South State has 4 convenient Alachua County locations. South State Bank, banking for member FDIC. Appreciate you joining the program today. I want to thank Chris Harry and JC for joining us on the Titan Omar hotline. We'll have Buddy Martin tomorrow, and we'll recap the national championship game and other Gator-related events. So have a great day, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.